Right, I'm going to. I'm just going to start talking while these guys continue praying, if that's okay. Today, I would. I'd like to talk about courage. I think that one of the things that God wants to bring to His church is simple, raw courage. I'm kind of. I'm sharing this as a journey that I am on personally, that I feel like the Lord is imparting courage to me personally. I'll share in a second about how last weekend God spoke to me really specifically about courage. And so, but I think it's for more than just me. I think I want to start speaking out. I'm going to speak it out in Marlow. If I'm invited to speak anywhere else, I'm just going to talk about courage. I just think it's the kind of the word that I feel like God's giving me personally. So I'm just kind of sharing it with you humbly and as a fellow follower of Jesus, as someone who's not there but wanting to step into it. So last weekend, I was at the Pioneer Leaders Conference, and I spoke to my friend Joe at the beginning of the conference, and he said to me, he leads a church down in a town called Arran. He said to me, "Dave, I think the biggest thing that God wants to do in the UK church this year is release courage." And I was like, something resonated within me. I thought, you know what? That's true. I can feel that bubbling within me. I can feel it happening within Marlow River Church, that is. We, you know, we've got social action. We're really involved in the community. We've got, like, pretty decent theology. We've got, you know, confidence in the gifts of the Spirit like never before, and people prophesying and praying for healing. And we run a healing rooms. And, you know, we've got confidence in these things. But what we don't have is we don't have just simple courage just to actually just get out there and starting to pray for people and to really step up. And when he said that, something resonated with me. I thought, you know what? The simplicity of courage, I like that. That's what I want to walk in. Raw courage, supernatural courage. That, you know, I thought, oh, great, Joe, you know, I'm up for that. And then later on in the day, I asked my friend Al Bullen to pray for me. And he said, no, I'm not going to pray for you. I'm going to get this guy to pray for you, a guy called Luke Smith, who works for an organization called Fusion and helps lead an Anglican church called G2 up in York. And he's this crazily bold person. He just does loads of these kind of, I don't know, schemes or initiatives or he's got these like kind of kooky ideas about how to reach people for Jesus. So he like locked himself in a see-through box in like the middle of York High Street to like just draw attention to himself so he could talk to people about Jesus. You know, he's got like harebrained, like bold, you know, ideas about stuff. And he goes, you know, Dave, I just want to give you a double portion of what I walk in, of just raw boldness and simple courage. And I was like, oh, great, cool. You know, I'll have that. And then in that the evening, Rich Wilson, this guy who was talking, he gave everyone this card. And on the card was the prayer of St. Brendan, who was one of the Celtic saints who brought the gospel to the UK. They set off in these little coracles. And the prayer is about him just like just his raw courage. You know, Lord, I'm getting in my little coracle. There's, you know, the wind and the tides are going to just blow me wherever. But, you know, I'm yours. Give me the courage to take on this journey. So I thought, oh, okay, you know, I'm up for this. This is cool. I then got back to my hotel room on Saturday night, and my friend, who's never ever messaged me before, she WhatsApped me a screenshot of a Bethel talk, and the Bethel talk was a Bill Johnson talk, and in the screenshot, she'd circled in like red pen, like five times or something, the title of this talk, and underneath it said, "Dave, I think you need to hear this." I couldn't actually listen to the talk because I can't find it on the Bethel website. But the talk is called Receiving Courage. So I'm like, okay, that's cool. You know, God, I think you're on something. I'm up for this. Then the following morning, I got up and I just did my daily Bible reading. And I just happened to be, you know, in the order of things, in Mark 6. And I'm reading Mark 6, and it's just this page of black text. And then right in the middle of that page, in red text, the words of Jesus from when he came walking on the lake, "Take courage, for I am with you." So I'm encouraged by God's encouragement, encouraging me to be courageous. That's cool, isn't it? That's cool. It's encouraging. So I have to say, I need to hear this from God, because I am an absolute expert in not being courageous. I am like, I would get an A in being a wimp. I'd get A in being a chicken. I have had so many times where I'm walking down the high street, or I'm sitting on a bus or whatever, and God starts to tell me about someone, or, you know, maybe you should pray for this person. They've got this, this, and this going on in their lives. It might be me, it might be God, I don't know. But I feel like, you know, something's stirring with me. I think, yeah, come on, this is a great time for a miracle. Whew, come on, Dave, you can pray for them, you can pray for them, you can pray for them. And then I chicken out. Just me? Has anyone else done that? Yeah, I'm an expert in being a wimp. I'm an expert in going in avoiding scary conversations, you know, with friends, with family. You know, sometimes you need to have tough conversations. And I'm like, come on, you can have this conversation. You can have this conversation. And then I chicken out. And then I beat myself up about it because I'm a wimp. I'm an expert chicken. So I need to hear this from God. Come on, Dave, be courageous. Okay, quick question. What does courage look like? Doing and afraid. I'm a bit nervous about this because potentially this will just mean I have no talk to give. Come on, that's it. Being afraid but doing it anyway. Yeah, that's right. I wasn't planning on sharing this, but last week, after the Pioneer Leaders Conference, I was caring for my 2-year-old nephew. We were looking after him for a few days, and my 5-year-old niece. And I've never changed a nappy before. And he hadn't pooed all weekend. My 2-year-old nephew. And then one morning he dropped an absolute bomb. And Chloe was like, "Come on, Dave, it's your time to learn. You've got to step up." And I was like, "I can't do that. I'm genuinely feeling the emotion of fear right now. This is freaking me out. I don't know what to do." And then she got my 5-year-old niece to start chanting, "Man up, man up, man up, man up." So I was like, "Come on." Oh, it was horrendous. It was horrific. But that took courage. And courage is doing it anyway when you're afraid. What else does courage look like? Courage looks like love. Come on. That's good. Do you want to unpack that? Do you want to say anything else on that? Or? Come on. Come on. That's right. There's no fear in love.
Being so intoxicated with the Holy Spirit that you really don't care what you're doing.
Okay, being so intoxicated with the Holy Spirit that you don't know what you're doing. Why do we need courage?
Because we're wimps.
To move us out of our comfort zones. Yeah, that's it. It's just life, and the Christian life. Life anyway is a challenge. It's scary. It's tough. The Christian life has its challenges as well, and it's scary and tough. And you know, we need courage.
Moving beyond self-protection.
I suppose that's that kind of links in with the love thing. Sometimes you make a stand for love, and you can put yourself in quite a vulnerable position to do the loving thing rather than just kind of the hard dog eat dog thing or whatever. Yeah. Just having faith. You put yourself out there. It's risk, isn't it? It's scary. Scared of looking stupid, scared of it not happening, scared of being rejected.
Courage is Jesus.
Come on.
Jesus is the ultimate sign of courage because he knew what was coming to him. But he stepped out and did it anyway because he knew that God had his hands on
him. Yeah, did people hear that? Jesus is the ultimate example and sign of courage because he knew what was coming. Yeah, he did it anyway. You know, that's some scary stuff to then commit to going through with. I was reading in my Bible this morning and it said, it was reading a bit about Isaiah, and it said, you know, the Prince of Peace, the government of peace will be in his shoulders. That government of peace, there will be no end. I'm not reciting it properly. He will be called Wonderful Counselor. I love that. I just think, you know, think about the best counselor. That's Jesus. And I said to Chloe, who's the best counselor? And she went, Jesus. And I was like, how did you know? She went, that's the answer to everything. So I was just picking up on what you said. What does courage look like? Jesus. It's true. Courage brings freedom. What do you think when you say that? Yeah. Yeah. It's the thing which sets you free to do things that you wouldn't do, be able to do otherwise.
Besides all that, it's a commandment.
It's a commandment.
Of good courage. God says, have I not commanded you, have no fear?
Come on. It's a commandment. Sorry? Yes, I did. I did it. Yes, courage is doing something and believing it's not in vain. What do you mean by that? Yeah. Yeah. So often there's a goal, isn't there? And sometimes you need courage to reach that goal. You don't just have courage for the sake of having courage, do you? You need courage for something. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know how to repeat that. It's courage. Say again? Just getting over yourself.
Doing it anyway.
It's
a lot harder to feel that you want to do something and then do it than it is to just do it anyway because
of feeling. Yeah, sure. Okay. So basically, like, courage is often, it doesn't feel nice emotionally. Basically, if you were going to go with your normal emotions and what feels good, what you kind of feels like your normal self, you would never choose the way of courage. It's like it feels not right almost. Yeah, come on.
And so the enemy's always trying to tell us not to. Because preservation isn't the key to value.
Yeah. Yeah. We were made for adventure.
It is a very great make you grab, help to grab.
Yeah.
Courage is stepping out of the boat.
Come on. Courage makes you grow. Courage makes you step out of the boat. This is good stuff. Right, give us courage, Lord. Amen. some of the things I wrote down is for me, what does courage look like and why do we need it? We need courage to be vulnerable with people. We need courage to try new things, to risk looking foolish or failing. We need courage to step up and take a lead. We need courage to keep loving and serving when it's tough. We need courage at home, in church, or in work. We need courage to simply keep going when it feels like you can't go any longer. We need courage to sometimes make the tough decisions. We need courage to push through when we're terrified. We need courage to acknowledge that we're not perfect and that at times we might need help. That's a courageous thing. And at times, you know, we need courage just to simply lean into God. Sometimes, you know, if it's guilt or if it's, you know, or for whatever reason, you know, actually the thing that you need to do is lean into God and just have his arms of love and acceptance around you. Sometimes that takes real courage just to do that. Can we play the Wizard of Oz, Clev?
Come on, get up and fight, you shivering junkyard. Put your hands off your lopsided bag of hay.
Now that's getting personal, Lion.
Yes, get up and teach him a lesson.
Well, what's wrong with you teaching him?
Well, I hardly know him.
Come on. Thank you. I love that. I don't think the metaphor translates exactly to Christianity, because, you know, in Christianity the wizard's God, and in the film the wizard is all like a show and has no substance. But one of the cool things about this story, which I think does apply and does translate across, would be the fact that the Tin Man, he thought he didn't have a heart, but he had a heart all along. The Straw Man thought he had no brain, but he had a brain all along. And the Lion, he thought he had no courage, and the Wizard couldn't offer him anything. But in the end, he discovered that he did have courage. It was just locked up deep down inside. For me, I think that's a powerful story for us. I think many of us, when it comes to courage, actually, you know what? It's in there. It's there. And it just needs to be unlocked. And we need to let God unlock it. We need to let one another's unlock it. There's a whole bunch of different ways to unlock our courage. I think we need to journey into these things. It's not just a one-stop shop. Boom, right, we're now going to be courageous for the rest of our lives. There's a courage blend, I think. But it's in there, guys. It's in there. There's a roaring lion within every single one of us. So, hands up, who's been courageous before? Fantastic. Hands up if you've never been courageous. Ah, yeah. Not brave enough to put your hand up. You know, everyone, all of us have been courageous. Who here went to did their first day at school? Who here's had a first day at school? Yeah. Hands up. That's a courageous thing to do. Who here has learned to swim? That's a courageous thing to do. Who here has been to a first day at a new job? That's a courageous day. Who here... I'll be disturbed if any of the men put their hands up. Who here has given birth? That's a courageous thing to do. Who here has ever done public speaking? It's a courageous thing to do. Who here has let their guard down and been vulnerable with somebody? It's a courageous thing to do. You know, actually, guys, all of us have, we might not think, you know, sometimes when we think, oh, courageous is this thing out there, but actually all of us, I think we're experts in being chickens, but actually we're also experts and seasoned in making courageous decisions in lots of little ways throughout our lives. Okay, let's look at Joshua. You want to turn in your Bibles? It's chapter 1. What time do we finish? Okay. Now it came about after the death of Moses, this is verse 1, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, cross this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the great Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and as far as the great sea towards the setting of the sun, will be your territory. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you will be careful to do according to all that is written. For then you will make your way prosperous, and you will have success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Joshua is just one example of courageous people in the Bible. There's loads of amazing story of people who have faced absolutely terrifying, terrifying situations, and God has spoken into them. But today we'll just look at Joshua. You know, it's scary stuff being Joshua. You've got this people who are pretty hard work. You've got this Moses guy who is like, talk about big shoes to fill. That's, you know, that's serious. You've got a knowledge that you need to take a nation into a new season, from a wilderness season into a new land. Who here knows that change management is a difficult thing? People get angry, people get annoyed, things go wrong. You know, this is the biggest change management thing. You know, you're moving an entire nation into a completely new season. You've got, and as part of that, you're operating in like violent tribal culture. So you know that's part of that. You guys are going to have to face wars. It's like, you know, us, it's like trying to be president of Syria at the moment. You know, it's scary stuff. It's serious, like life and death stuff. And I think it's encouraging that, to me, that God said it to Joshua three times, be strong and courageous. And he went so far as saying, don't tremble. That's seriously scared. Don't be dismayed. Forever, wherever the Lord wherever you go, the Lord God will go with you. And I take courage in that. I take comfort in that, should I say. The fact that, like, this guy Joshua must have been absolutely terrified. The task ahead would have been absolutely daunting. And, you know, God had to speak to him a few times. Look, I'm with you, God. I'm with you. I'm with you as people. I'm with you guys. Do not fear. And you know what, guys? God says the same to each one of us this morning. He says, I am with you. And that is a flipping game changer. I am with you. Whatever you're facing, whether it's family stuff, whether it's work stuff, whether it's church stuff, whether or not you've got a vision to reach out to your neighbours, you know, whatever is in your heart that you think, actually, no, I need courage to do this thing. We all have those things inside of ourselves. God says, I will be with you. Do not tremble or be dismayed. Take courage, for I am with you. Just let those words sink in. God's with us. It's a game changer. So, what can we learn from the man Joshua? Three things. Firstly, I think we can learn that he was a man of the presence. He was a man who loved the presence of God. Has to be a lesson to us there. It says in Exodus 33, verse 11, that when he was in the tent of meeting, it's with Moses. Moses talked face to face with God. Moses would go out of the tent, and it says, Joshua remained in the tent. He was a man of the presence. His relationship with Moses was an important one. And I think that's one of the keys to walking in courage. Relationships with mentors, father figures, people can speak courage into your life, people can learn from. He would not have been able to take the leadership of the nation of Israel on had he not learned from Moses, been mentored by Moses, been fathered by Moses. From my perspective, in my life, last year, I went through what I describe to people as the dark night of the soul. I said to Chloe, I said, look, I've never felt this low before. I've never felt that like God is so far away. Whatever I do, it feels like he's not there anymore. I'm an absolute wreck. I think maybe I feel like my self-confidence is completely rock bottom. I feel like I'm a failure as a church leader. You know, maybe I should just pack it in. I just was bombarded. We went on holiday. I didn't speak for 3 days. She said, Dave, like, what is going on with you? You haven't spoken to me. I'm like, yeah, I've spoken to you. And she's going, no, you're just giving me one-word answers the whole time. You're just lost in your own head. And I was like, oh, babe, I'm really sorry. And she's like, okay, well, fine. Just get your stuff together and be fun to be with. This is a holiday. Like, and I said to her, you know, maybe I'm going through the dark night of the soul. You know, this is, I've read about this. And then someone Facebooked me like on holiday, and I just happened to like, you know, check it, and said, and they sent me this article about the dark night of the soul. I hadn't told anyone. I took courage in just that encouragement, you know, that actually God is with you. Even when it feels like there's a veil between you, actually God is still with you. Will you trust me when it feels like I'm not there, as well as just when you know I'm there? So anyway, I was going through this, you know, the full-on, just really dark period. And, you know, it was guys like Al Bullen, who's like used to lead River Church, and Colin, and others, who I would just be really honest and vulnerable with, and just like, you know, just say, look, this is what I'm doing. And, you know, they would speak courage into me. They'd say, look, Dave, you know, actually, the lows feel lower than they need to, and the highs feel higher than they need to. And actually, come on, you can do this. You know, push through. We believe in you. And they spoke life, they spoke courage, they spoke belief into me and spoke into my identity. And I think that is one of the keys to walking in courage, is actually having people around us who can encourage us, speak courage into us. People with me?
Yeah.
Great. I think another key to walking in courage is just hearing the voice of God, just knowing that God's with you. This thing that happened to me last weekend, like the coincidences of people talking to me about courage and like reading about courage, that has like massively encouraged me. I feel more courageous now. And there's some things which I'm like stepping into on leadership scale, which I would feel really, really nervous about doing. But now I feel, you know what? God's with me. I feel total rest about that. You know, when we know that God is with me, when we know that God is with us, that puts steel in us, you know? That's what Jesus had when he was asleep in the boat. That's what David had when he stood with Goliath. It's that sense of, you know what? This is ridiculous, but God is with me, so I'm going to do it anyway. So let's push in to hear the voice of God. Let's push in to be people of the presence. Let's connect with people who we want to learn from and speak into our lives. Encouragement is a huge thing. You know, like last week I was, or on Friday, I was walking in the hills, and what was supposed to be like a little stroll turned into like a 10-hour snow walk in the fog. And yeah, we were knackered. Like, we drove up, we set off from London the night before at 8 p.m., arrived in the lakes at 2 a.m., and then hit the hills at 8 a.m., and then we're walking for 10 hours. So we were exhausted. My friend Ed, he's so fit, and I was absolutely exhausted. And just simple words of encouragement, you know, kind of just normal stuff. Keep going, Dave. You can do this. You know, you've got this. And they were like nectar. Those words just like went deep, deeply into me. And yeah, it's just very, very basic encouragement. And you know, the Bible says, I can't remember where it is, in the New Testament, says just encourage one another daily. Hands up if you like being encouraged. Come on. I think our job should just be like a people that of encouragement. We just become like encouragement machines. We should call ourselves like the, we should get like bands on our wrists saying like we're the encouragement crew or something, you know? Let's just be people who just encourage one another, cheer one another on. Hey, you can do it. I believe in you. Go for it. You know, go for these big hairy visions and big hairy scary goals and visions, and just cheer one another on the whole time. Let's do it. Let's just really encourage one another. So, on that note, let's all stand. And what I'd like you to do is go to someone and just encourage them. You could either say, you know, you can either ask God for a word and say, you know, this is what Jesus, what I think Jesus might be saying to you. Or you could just say, you know what, this is what I see over you, just with my own mind. I see you're this kind of person. I see you have the capabilities to do this, or you're fantastic at this, and I really appreciate that about you. I'm grateful when you offer this, you know, to our community or whatever. Let's just do that. Let's encourage, actively encourage one another now. Go. Right. Oh, everybody, if you're still praying, that's fine. But I will continue this amazing preach. Okay. Another key, I think, to walk, facing your fears and walking in courage is just to break it down, into break whatever the big scary thing is into bite-sized chunks. When we went walking on Friday into the hills, we looked at those mountains that were ahead of us, and we were absolutely tiny, and they were covered in snow. We didn't have crampons or anything, and we thought, "Flip, man, this is scary. This is like serious stuff." And then as you walk, step by step by step, you get closer and closer and closer, and you do segment by segment and segment, you just realize that it was just totally doable, and it was fine. And I think often that's one of the things. You can see out there, you can see this thing, it's like, whoa, that is scary. That's going to take some serious courage. But actually, you know, all you can do is just take one step towards it, one step towards it, one step towards it, one step towards it with God. And like on Friday, you know, we got massively... we took this massive detour, which was so tiring because we thought we were coming down in one valley and we came down a different valley. And it was just miles and miles out of the way. And you know what? You could be really discouraged. For a while, we were a bit discouraged. We were thinking, oh, flip, man. You know, we're knackered and now we've got more and more walking to do. But you know what? On our detour was the most beautiful lake I've ever seen in my whole life. And there was a perfect reflection of the mountain above it. And we're just walking through it. And you know what? Just the presence of God, the beauty of God, just the awe of God was in that moment. And I felt like God say to me, you know, sometimes when you get detoured, you feel discouraged. Actually, those are where the hidden moments of beauty are. You know, my foster daughter, she was, we took her rowing just on like a rowing boat, and she was terrified. She saw the rowing boat. She can't swim. She saw the rowing boat. She didn't even want to get in it. And we said, look, come on, step by step. First thing you do is get in the rowing boat. Okay, oh, I'm terrified. All right, now like we're going to row for a bit, and now we're going to show you to row a bit. And every stage, she was absolutely terrified. She was convinced that she couldn't do it. And by the end of the rowing trip, she was just whizzing up and down the river. She was just like our rowing driver, whatever that word is. Rowing driver. What is the word for a rowing driver? Cox. No, that's a person who like chants. Whatever. Yeah. Break it down into bite-sized chunks, step by step. It's these things are a lot more doable. And my last point is just it's already been said, doing stuff when you're scared anyway. I believe that there are five words which will change the world. And those five words are, can I pray for you? And I believe if every Christian started using those words on a fairly regular basis, we would see, we'd see revival. We'd see breakout, because God is partnering. He's chosen to partner with us. His kingdom is of peace is coming, but it's only coming through people who are bringing it. And he's called his church to be victorious and to be an absolutely key role in the ever extending peace of his government through all areas of society. That's why we need to step up. That's why we need the courage. And a key part of that is us just saying, can I pray for you? I was in Marlow earlier in the year, and the guy who was running to be the Green MP for our area, I run this festival called Love Marlow. It's a different story, but basically he runs this kind of little organization called I Love Marlow, or We Love Marlow, or something. And I'd never heard of that. And he was like really annoyed with me. He was like, oh, I can't believe these classic Christians doing whatever they want, not consulting anyone, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I heard on the grapevine that he was really, really annoyed with me. So anyway, I rang him up and said, look, Dave, his name's Dave as well. I'm so sorry that you're really annoyed, you know, with us. Any chance we can meet up for a coffee? So we met up for a coffee, and I just chose, you know, the humble route. So, look, I'm so sorry. I would love to work with you. I didn't know you guys existed. You know, please forgive us or whatever. And that, you know, his beef just completely diffused straight away. And then we explored how we could work together. And we had this conversation and stuff. And at the end, I just felt, come on. He was open. You know, he's been pretty open in his conversations about, you know, where he's at with spirituality. And I just said, mate, can I pray for you? And he just went, yeah, okay. And I said, okay, cool. Well, you know, let's do it. And he's like, what, now? I said, yeah, I'm going to pray for you now. So I just prayed for him. I said, okay, well, you know, are you happy to close your eyes? And he said, yeah. So I closed my eyes. And I just started just praying for him, just really, 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 really quietly. It didn't feel like a special prayer or anything like that. And then I started to see, just say some things that I appreciated about him. I said, look, I really appreciate your gentleness, your passion for the environment, and, you know, that calling that stuff out. And then at the end, I went, okay, cool, amen. And he just sat there for about 15 seconds with his eyes closed. And then he opened his eyes and he had tears in his eyes and he went, wow. And he was like, when do you guys meet on Sundays? And I said, you know, we meet, and he hasn't turned up. But you know what? It's someone who's like a lot closer to knowing the love of Jesus. And I could have so easily have missed that opportunity just by bottling it. Simple words, can I pray for you? And so often in my head, I still do it all the time. Jill, you're an example and inspiration to me in wanting to do it a lot more. we say people's no's for them. We say people's no's for them. I play out the conversation in my head. Can I pray for you? No, you idiot. That's how it goes in my head. Can I pray for you? Yeah, okay. That's how it went. I shouldn't say that no for them. They should say that no for them. Boldness. The New Testament, Peter prays, Lord, beginning of Acts, or no, when they're getting persecuted, Lord, give us boldness. And that should be our prayer today. So if you want to partner with me in asking God to just give boldness to us, supernatural boldness, boldness to just keep going, or boldness to step up and out and do outreach and pray for our friends, pay for people on the high street, pray for our colleagues, or boldness just to be vulnerable or to step up and take a lead, or whatever it needs, whatever it is you need courage for. If you need to receive it, if you want to receive it, why don't we stand? I'm going to pray. We'll ask God to give us boldness, give us courage. Thank you, Father, that you are with us. Thank you that you love us. You hold us, wrap around love of your presence. Thank you that you've called us to be victorious, to be bringers of your kingdom, of love, your righteousness, peace, and justice. And let your courage bubble up within us as we leave this place, as we go about, you know, have our lives in the coming days and weeks and months. May we just rise up as a courageous people. And the things which scared us, the things that seemed overwhelming, may we overwhelm those things. Jesus' name, Amen.